Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Tonight, Ghana Immigration Service expands massive crackdown on undocumented immigrants as it collaborates with embassies of countries of origin of over 2,000 illegal migrants arrested today for swift deportation.
We are in talks again with some of the embassies of these nationals, and they fully support what we are doing. Some of them, a couple of years back, conducted their own to remove their nationals by air or whatever means. The service is really ready to support such an effort.
We'll hear from the victims who cite war and persecution as reasons for their asylum in Ghana, begging for amnesty.
Finding food has become a problem for us. Our husbands and relatives have been killed, and we can no longer stay in our country. We are here only to find something to eat, nothing more.
Details of this here on our top story brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies. My name is Samuel Kojo-Brace. Tonight, the Ghana Immigration Service is expanding its massive crackdown on undocumented immigrants as it collaborates with embassies of countries of origin for swift deportation. Immigration officers rounded up over 2,000 illegal migrants in the early hours of today at various locations in the capital, Accra, in an intelligence-led operation which the service say is a bid to raid the streets of beggars. The arrested persons, who include women, children and the elderly, are currently in immigration custody for screening for possible deportation. We'll hear from the immigration shortly on details of their next line of action, but first, the following report captures what transpired at the Obichebe Lamte roundabout Friday dawn.
Tens of immigration officers sneaked in at dawn on Friday to carry out this operation, a soap which rounded up hundreds of undocumented immigrants believed to be street beggars. The operation took place at Sabon Zongo, Nima, Abuseokai, and Obichebe Lamte runabout all in Accra. By 7 a.m., hundreds of these children, women and the elderly have been assembled here at the Obichebe Lamte runabout, ready for transportation to the immigration headquarters and onward deportation to their countries of origin. Those who spoke to Joy News say they have fled from war to seek refuge in Ghana.
Finding food has become a problem for us. Our husbands and relatives have been killed, and we can no longer stay in our country. We are here only to find something to eat, nothing more.
According to official data from the Ghana Immigration Service, a total of 2,241 immigrants comprising 1,332 children and 909 adults have been rounded up for screening. Here are the views of some Ghanaians on the operation.
And spend the entire day begging for money. They refuse to do any work for themselves. Even our Ghanaian mothers sell water to earn a living. If we were willing to sell water or do any kind of work, we wouldn't have a problem with them. We are truly grateful to the government and the immigration service for their efforts.
Immigration, the people, they are guessing about the immigration, but the immigration, they are doing their work. So most of them, what they are doing is not, even we, our people, we don't like it. Because why? One woman has 8 children. He's the one not bonding them. He brought them on the street, they are not school. Even last week, children's home talk about them. They say they want to help them to take the children education. so that then the women, they are going, if you lead, you sell ice water, pure water, mango, you sell something on the street, then you help your children. If fees reach, you want to pay, then we help you people to pay the school fees. But these people, we talk to them. I am one of the people, I am one of the leaders taking about them. If for hospital, anything happen to them, I am one of the people helping them. So now, I don't know what they are doing there. It's very nice because of the children.
For now, it is unclear how long this operation, which is aimed at ridding the streets of foreign nationals involved in begging, will last, and whether it will be extended to other cities across the country. Another question is how long government can sustain this, considering the fact that just 2 years ago, over 1,300 of these foreign nationals were transported back to their countries in a similar operation. Maxwell Aklobotus report, read to you.
We can now hear from the head of public relations at the Immigration Service, Assistant Commissioner of Immigration, Amakun Atta, who reveals that the undocumented immigrants are not only engaged in street begging, but other illegal activities.
Those that are undocumented are engaged in this begging, and other buses are ready to convey them to their various destinations. We are in talks again with some of the embassies of these nationals, and they fully support what we are doing. Some of them, a couple of years back, conducted their own to remove their nationals by air or whatever means. The service is really ready to support such an effort. But then after they go through all the processes, they'll be escorted out of the country by the GIS by road. So far, that's what we have. I've been arrested for the day, and the various nationalities into which they may rise as more people are brought in. As we speak, so far, from about 4 or 5 zones within the national capital, I believe them on board, and the numbers will definitely go up. The various nationalities to which they belong. So that is what we have for now concerning the swoop, what we call special operation.
Now, in what officials are calling a coordinated national crackdown, the Immigration Service has announced it will launch similar operations in other major cities within the next 24 hours. Now, these areas, authorities say, have seen a sharp rise in undocumented migrants, many of whom live in poor conditions and survive by begging on the streets.
It's to be conducted across the country, especially the major cities. So Accra is the launching pad. Next 24 hours or so, the other cities will begin to experience this move of removing these undocumented aliens. Yes, so it's not just going to be confined to the national headquarters, but then outside Accra. The process is still ongoing. I'm sure by the course of the index question will be answered. And again, it's not an excuse that we always say the borders are porous. But if you look at the border security institutions, where others even come to mark us, just that at times, fortunate that some of our fellow nationals and let me say border residents at times assist some of these people to come in. But then we are engaged such border nationals about the dangers of assisting foreigners to enter the country. But Ofia, we, in terms of magnitude and planning, and all, we send a very strong signal to those even who may be hiding somewhere seen that no, the terrain has changed. And even other commanders to double their patrols and their efforts. We build up on our community engagement with border residents to ensure that these things do not happen. So in most border communities, we formed what we call community protection forums, where there are various groupings with border community members as part, where you have these civilians being chairpersons of these groups to raise issues about counter-terrorism, cross-border activities and all that.
Well, the Ghana Immigration Service has given a breakdown of the number of persons who have been arrested so far. My colleague James Avaji joins me in studio with more from that particular statement from the Immigration Service. James, what is the Immigration Service saying?
Well, Braze, as we know now, 2,241 people have been rounded up so far. And here is the breakdown. Adults, total 909, 384 male and 525 female. Children are high on the list, 1,332 children in all, comprising 577 male and 755 female. And so if you put the figure together, a total of 1,280 female, females and 961 males in all have been rounded up. We know that they are still at the Ghana Immigration Service headquarters for VAT screening, and they are putting on record that this activity or this operation is done in a humane manner, observing all the dignity that they are entitled to.
But let's expand this particular discussion and bring in people who have interest in this issue. Bright Appiah is Executive Director of Child Rights International. Bright, let me start with you, because as you heard there, we have 1,332 children on the list. Disturbing for you?
Yes, but I'm not just surprised about the numbers, because I'm sure if you had to do a comprehensive evacuation, we'll get more than that. So it's a starting point, but it should tell you that there are a lot of children on the street that we need to show concern and how best we can deal with their issues.
Now, you always see these children begging on the street. What must we do as a country to ensure that the rights of these children, because the Constitution gives them a certain right they have to enjoy at their age, are enforced so that they can also derive the benefit of being given those rights?
We all know that one of the things that we have guaranteed the Ghanaian child is the right to education. And on the basis of that, we've made it compulsory, and we want to ensure that while children are in school, their rights are protected within the broader framework of our social welfare. So clearly, there are a lot of things that we have outlined that we need to do as a country. One, if you look at the Children's Act, it gives some kind of clearance for every child to be a child, and for that matter, the state must protect their interests.
But once these are foreign nationals,
I'm coming to because within our laws, a child found in Ghana it has the entitlement to enjoy any social benefit that is there for children. So for that matter, it's either you declare the child to be a refugee to give him or her that status for the child to enjoy the benefit thereof, or the child is a citizen of Ghana, and anything that we need to do for children, we also put them under the same category. And if the state thinks that they cannot provide for the foreigners, the children that are coming from the foreign countries or the neighboring countries, then the alternative is to engage the diplomatic protocol to be able to send them back to their respective countries. So basically, these are the channels that we have. So whatever action that we take, we have to make sure that so far as they are in Ghana, all the social benefit that we have to give to them, we have to make sure that we do so. And where we think that we don't have capacity, the alternative available to the state is to ensure that they send them back to their respective countries.
But won't the right to education apply if we do not know their parent? And if you look at the Constitution on citizenship four, is that a child of no more than 16 years of age, neither of whose parent is a citizen of Ghana, who is adopted by a citizen of Ghana, shall, by virtue of the adoption, be a citizen. If they have not been adopted, they aren't Ghanaians, right? So the only option is to take them to their countries.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, that yes, if the state thinks that they are not citizens, for that matter, they cannot provide them with the social care, that the alternative is send them back. Or the option is also to give them a refugee status so that the state can also take care of them. So these are the options available for the state to do that. But the immediate step that the state need to do, whether they are Ghanaians or not, once they are in Ghana, their best interest must be protected. And irrespective of that, the best interest of the child, whether you are a citizen or not, all the protocols that exist for us to ensure that best interest will be protected should be extended to everyone before you take them out of the borders of this country. Once they are within the borders of this country, then it means that they deserve to be protected under the legislation.
Okay, all right, Bright. I'm grateful to you there for those points. But let's move on now and bring in Mutaru Mumuni Mukhtar, who is with the West African Center for Counter Extremism. You know, to get his point here, Mutaru. I hope I still have you on the line. Okay, we will get Mutaru back on the line so we can have that discussion with him here. Mutaru, do I have you on the line?
Yes,
great. So once, when you listen to the people, the victims, those who've been rounded up, they cite, you know, war and persecution as the reason for which they seek shelter in this country. Once they cite that, what option does Ghana have?
Well, of course, we all understand the circumstances under which these people are here. In terms of the violent extremism threats in the Sahel that has driven a lot of people to this place. But not everyone who is here is there genuinely because of that particular factor. There are people who are here on the basis of, you know, what we'll call beggar exploitation. Exploitation in the sense that there are people here who are taking advantage of the, you know, the seeming generosity of the Ghanaian population to exploit the children and under these circumstances. We are aware of a model in which, you know, individuals are, you know, exploiting these individuals. They go to the Sahel, Niger, Mali, or Burkina Faso and arrange with the parents of these kids, bring them here, place a bond on each of them, bring them here and make money off them, pay off the bond, and the kids are on their own. And they assign an adult as a parent or guardian for this kid. So if you watch carefully on the streets, you would see that there are instances where the supposed parent is taking charge of a huge number of children who clearly are not of her own or their own children. And so that situation clearly are, you know, situations of crime or criminality that must be investigated and ensure that we have deterrent measures against those practices. If you are here genuinely as a, you know, migrant or as a refugee, you have the Ghana Refugee Board that is solely responsible for that. And as we speak, there's a huge number of people who have come in here and legitimately sought refugee status, and we are talking about nearly 25,000 people in this space, registered and, you know, given legal status, and this allows them to be able to seek, you know, employment, to be able to seek legal, you know, protection, and also resident permit in this space. And so there are several channels available. And those who fall outside of this clearly have to be repatriated. And I think that we must do it in a manner that does not undermine our good relations with our neighbors, in a way that is humane, that is respectful, in partnership or collaboration with the sister embassies that are here.
But once you mentioned that some of the children are brought into this country, giving an elderly person to go and look for money on the street, can we then bring in the angle of child trafficking?
Sure, clearly. Those are the situations I make references to. The situations of child trafficking, or child beggar, syndicates in here, where the children are, you know, brought in here, exploited for money. Those situations are criminal situations that must be addressed. And so we need to investigate these situations and ensure that we are punishing the individuals involved in this.
Okay. So for you, what must we do to ensure that they do? Because we've done this before, yet we still had some a number of them coming back. What must we do to ensure that when we send them back to their countries, they don't have that liberty of coming back to Ghana?
Yes, I have said that variously elsewhere. The reality that this could happen again, this may not be sustainable if we don't tighten the loose ends in terms of, investigating and prosecuting the syndicates, the individuals involved in this crime, and ensuring that when we do this, kind of repatriation, the countries, you know, understand that we are not getting these individuals back into this space. And those involved or capable of it are punished, you know, severely enough to deter them or others from doing the same. It's more about, I mean, law enforcement. How do we enforce the law thoroughly in the way that is, you know, deterrent for criminals who are exploiting the system?
Stay with me. Let me bring in Asaf Weje, who is deputy ranking member on the Foreign Affairs Committee. I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining here. Now, you are in Parliament. You can, you know, ensure that the right things are done. Now, these people, most of them come by road. What will your committee do to ensure that our borders are strengthened to ensure that these people do not have that liberty to re-enter?
So first and foremost, let me acknowledge the fact that the committee and as far as minority have seen the story, and then we think that issues that have to do with immigration and migration are very critical and sensitive, for which matter we are demanding further and better details and particulars. Then we can make a very, very instructive position on this matter. Why are we saying this? Number one, we must first and foremost know the origin of these people we are seeking to repatriate. Those details must get back to us. We are asking the immigration to get us these details. If they are from ECOWAS, it means that, I mean, there are some ECOWAS protocols we must also avert our minds to. Because ECOWAS members are allowed to be in another country or another ECOWAS member state for 90 days. Have they exceeded those 90 days or they are still within the 90 days? Then the repatriation must be looked at very well. So these are some of the critical issues we want to get details from. Then we can be able to, I mean, make a position or take a decision on these matters. Now, whether they get back or they don't get back has to do with a multifaceted approach. The immigration is another area that we seriously and critically need to look at. The police service is another area that we need to look at. The Foreign Affairs Ministry as a body also has a role to play in this matter. So, like I said, the story just came today. So we are hoping and praying that the immigration service will furnish us with some details. Then we can come in with specificities and advise or make our position clear and known to the country.
Oh, okay. So these are not operations that you are pre-informed about before they are carried out?
No. As of now, we have just picked information about the number of people where their children are, let's say, this number. Women are this number, but we have not provided us whether they are from Nigeria, they are from Togo, they are from Burkina Faso, they are from Niger. These things will help you advise you. If they are from Burkina Faso, then you must be careful, because it means that it might be the outflow of the impasse that is making them come here, and they are running for refuge. So you cannot just repatriate them anyhow, or you can not just take them back for taking them back here. They are coming to seek asylum, so we need to get all these details. Then we can make a position, advise government, and then the institutions that matters. Then we can know what to do. Mm. But until those facts and details are made clear to us, it will be difficult to make any preliminary statement or position. We might end up, I mean, saying something that because we must know that. We also have nationals that are in other countries.
Okay, if you listen to them, some of them have cited war and persecution. Are you saying that those kind of people must be looked at again and not be taken back to where they're coming from?
So you see, if somebody is in your country because of war, you want to take the person back to go and die? No. I mean, the protocols don't allow that. That is why we even created Bujumbura, to take care of all these Liberian people or refugees from these war-prone areas. So we must be careful. We are cautioning immigration to handle these people with care.
Okay.
Give them the necessary respect that they deserve and demand, so that we can take our time to peruse the matter very well. And then we can instructively say that, these people, repatriate them. These people,
Let's go and create a place for them to stay and give them what they need or what they need, pending resolving the issues in their country.
Okay.
These people, if we need to do this. So we need to get the segregation and the segmentation of all these people. Else we might be making a mistake. Don't forget that Ghana is more or less the leader, the pacesetter in this African continent, particularly West Africa. So we set the pace. A lot of people are looking up to us. So if we don't take care and we do anything anyhow, we will lose our position as the influencer, as the big brother, as the leader, as the country with the much democracy that we are touted to be. So I am begging.
Okay.
Give
all
us
right.
some time to we'll engage the immigration okay. services to get details on this matter.
I'm grateful.
And then we can look at
okay.
what...
Asafoja, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. He's deputy ranking member on the Foreign Affairs Committee of Parliament. Let me bring in Dr. Ishmael Hrovo Kwabla, who's an international relations expert. Doc, grateful for joining us here. Now, our president is someone who has tried to rein in the Sahel countries to still continue being part of ECOWAS. In fact, he's moved on to even get an envoy for the Sahelian region. Looking at all of that and what is happening now that the immigration is arresting some of these people, what, you know, international relations, damage, for lack of a better word, will this bring to all this effort to bring in these people back to into ECOWAS?
Good evening to you and good evening to your listeners. First of all, let's understand that Ghana as a country has the right to manage its own immigration the way it deems fit. But we must do so in accordance with relevant international norms and treaty obligations, and also take into account the security situation within the sub-region. Now, if we look at the effort of Mahama to reach out to the Sahel Sea, and if you put it within the context that this migrant, majority of them may be coming from these Sahel countries. If we deport them without the necessary collaboration with their embassies and their home government, it doesn't send a very good signal to the Sahel states and to the international community.
We are hearing from the immigration that they are getting the support of these embassies. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if these embassies are involved, then that is positive. Then you don't expect any backlash because they will be able to identify those who are their citizens and prepare for their reintegration back home. But one of the things about deportations of this nature is that when it is done on a mass, you are always going to have the tendency to commit errors. You must be able to profile them, understand the root causes of them coming here, to be able to deal with them on one-on-one basis, instead of just assuming that they are all from Niger, Burkina Faso, another place, and deporting them that way. Some of them have security issues back where they are coming from, and that may have pushed them here. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, we know that there are also criminal networks taking advantage of these migrants, and therefore all these other dynamics must be considered.
Okay.
So yes, so far as these embassies are involved in the process, their home government are involved in the process, then it is still part and parcel of what is expected of a country like Ghana to do in institutions like this.
All right. Doc, I'm grateful to you for spending some time with us here. Mutaru, how do we ensure, because they came by land, how do we ensure that these people, even when we repatriate them, do not get access to come into the country?
Well, at this point, there are options that we have in terms of policing our borders and ensuring that we have thorough checks in terms of who comes in and who goes out. Of course, we are often told the porosity of our borders allow individuals to come in who should not be in here. Having that foreknowledge, it's our responsibility to ensure that we put in adequate measures. The adequate measures would ensure that
people who are not allowed in here do not get into this space.
Okay. All right.
And also because the situations are different for different, you know, people here. Not all of them are here for the same reasons or under the same circumstance.
Mm.
And so we need to be profiling them enough because we do not have time. I would have promised this conversation on the basis of mutual engagement with partner countries or the countries that are involved at the policy level or, you know, ministerial level engagement to appreciate the problem that we are dealing with and ensure that we roll out measures that are really supportive of mutual interest in the region.
I'm grateful to you, Mutaru Mumoni Mukhtar. He is with the West African Center for Counter-Extremism. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies. My name is Samuel Kojobris. But join Samson Ladi Ayanini and his team tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 12 noon on the news file. And issues that they'll be looking at include looming power crisis, $1.1 billion in 2 days or doomso. Also, the CD miracle, blip or engineered to last. Well, join Samson and his team there. But for now, it's time for Kweku Asante to bring you, you know, Ghana Connect today. Kweku, thanks.